Earth, sky.
I think there's a lot to say that you have so much riding on that first kiss with someone, or that for those first few kisses with someone, where if the chemistry is right, it might start something with the person you least expect. But even when everything looks like it's perfect, if the kiss doesn't feel right, well, something might be off, and it's your body's way of saying look elsewhere.
You're listening to Cheryl Kirshenbaum, author of the book The Science of Kissing, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Kirshenbaum's book examines what scientists have learned about why we kiss, how kissing affects us, and what we learn from a kiss. She spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson.
So let's start with the most basic question. Why do humans kiss?
Humans kiss for a variety of reasons. There's the biological reasons, the reasons that it's good for us, things like assessing a partner, figuring out how compatible you might be, getting a sense of who they are and whether you might have a future together. But we also kiss for a lot of reasons that go back in terms of why humans started kissing, and that can have everything to do with nursing behaviors, pre-chewing food called pre-mastication across the animal kingdom, also in our primate relatives, and something that some cultures still do today, and a variety of other reasons as well.
Tell me about your book. What's one of the most interesting things that science has learned about kissing?
Oh my goodness, there's so many things. Well, one of the more, I think, fascinating parts of my book comes from a chapter I wrote called Women Are From Venus, Men Are Easy. And apart from having a great title, it's actually about the reasons, the different motivations that men and women have when it comes to why we kiss. And while kissing is important and valued by all, well, by both genders, women and men definitely approach a partner and approach kissing from very diverse perspectives. So women tend to see it as more of a way to understand their relationship, where they are with a partner, what it means in terms of their future together. And men often describe a kiss in terms of, well, when tested by evolutionary psychologists, they'll say things like, oh, it's a means to an end. We're swapping saliva. Maybe we'll swap something else down the line.
So do you think that's a cultural thing, or do you think that that's something that men and women are actually biologically getting different signals from kissing?
That's a really good question. What's neat about the studies I was looking at is while some were done in the U.S., there were others done in different parts of the world, as far as Australia, that showed similar differences between the sexes. But I do think that there is probably a huge cultural component, because when we look at attitudes on kissing all around the world and throughout history, they certainly have varied a great deal.
What can two people tell about each other from a kiss?
Well, when we kiss, we engage all of our senses. So we're learning so much about a person, not just visually, as we're so used to in terms of, you know, dressing up to go out and thinking about how we look, but we're also engaging our noses, our taste buds, the sense of touch. And through that information, all sorts of signals are being sent to our brain telling us about the other person. So some of them are obvious, you know, do we like how we feel when we're with that person? Do we like the way that they're holding us, or whatever it may be, but also olfaction, our sense of smell. Well, that can tell us a little bit about how compatible we are. And scientists have actually found that women tend to prefer the scents of men who have a distinct genetic code for immunity from them. And that's something that we subconsciously pick up when we're in very close proximity doing something like when we're engaging in a kiss. And so in turn, you know, people who have a very diverse genes for immunity would down the line potentially have children that are stronger and healthier. And so it's just, it's sort of like nature's litmus test. And that's one of several examples of how a kiss can tell you a lot about your partner.
Mm-hmm. So there's things that we are aware of. You know, I like the feel of this, but there's also things that we might not be aware of that these little mechanisms in our bodies are actually picking up
on. Yeah, it's neat. And actually, according to evolutionary psychologist Gordon Gallup, who's at the State University of New York at Albany, 59% of men and 66% of women say they have ended a budding relationship because a kiss didn't go well. I think there's a lot to say that you have so much riding on that first kiss with someone, or that for those first few kisses with someone, where if the chemistry is right, it might start something with the person you least expect. But even when everything looks like it's perfect, if the kiss doesn't feel right, well, something might be off, and it's your body's way of saying look elsewhere.
So you wrote in your book, or you write in your book, that there are chemicals exchanged in a kiss. What are the chemicals, and what do they do?
Right. Well, there are a variety of different chemicals in our body influencing the way we feel and helping us decide what to do next. For example, oxytocin, it's known as the love hormone. And oxytocin gets stimulated in our bodies when we're in close proximity to someone, when we're kissing, and through a variety of other behaviors that might come later. And that's responsible for feelings of attachment and social bonding, factors that are really important. In terms of relationships, dopamine is a neurotransmitter also stimulated, and that has to do with craving and desire, you know, and just needing to be with that person. And so when we kiss someone, well, there's a rise in dopamine. It also has to do with novelty. So the novelty of a first kiss can really spike your dopamine levels in a huge way. And then also things like serotonin, which has to do with obsessive feelings, obsessive thoughts about the other person. A variety, it's a cocktail of hormones and neurotransmitters that sort of guide us and help us decide our next move.
So for something that we do so often, there hasn't been much research on kissing. What do scientists still want to learn about it?
Well, it's interesting because there have been so many studies related to kissing. And the reason I wrote the book was because initially I had just done this blog post for my Discover blog on kissing around Valentine's Day. And so many people started writing in with questions, and not just the general public, but scientists as well. And they started asking me what I was finding out from other fields. So the endocrinologists wanted to know what the anthropologists were telling me, and they wanted to hear what, you know, historians might have to say. And it was just about putting the story together, you know, finding the pieces from different fields of science and finding a way to tell a story with that. But I think that through the course of my work and finding all of these different interesting studies in the primary literature, it points to some new directions in kissing. One of them was just trying to test kissing in the brain, which is something I did in the book in a neuroscience experiment at New York University. But beyond that, there's so many possibilities. So I feel like the science of kissing in many ways is in its infancy, but there's a lot that we can do from here.
What is the greatest unanswered question in your book?
Well, there are so many, but something I'm personally really interested in is kissing and longevity. So kissing and relationships over time, because in most of the research that I looked at, psychologists, all these endocrinologists, they were looking at college-age students, so people in their 20s mostly. And there's a lot to suggest that long-term kissing and relationships boosts that sense of attachment from repeated oxytocin, from all a variety of factors. But it would be interesting to sort of follow couples over time and learn about kissing and their relationships and see how important it seems to be and what that means for the likelihood that two people will stay together.
You've been listening to Cheryl Kirschenbaum. She's the author of The Science of Kissing, published in January 2011, and she's a research scientist with the Weber Energy Group at the University of Texas at Austin's Center for International Energy and Environmental Policy. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.